But I'd like to start out with a word of testimony this morning, and sure been a good service this morning. The singing of the hymns. Brother Mac asked me yesterday, he said, what hymns would you like maybe to sing or something of that nature? And you know, when my wife and I get here on Sunday morning, we just enjoy the hymns. I mean, they're just, and I just rejoice at the content and the blessing of the hymns. They're so edifying to build us up in the faith. And so that is always a great blessing to us. I want to give a word of testimony. And I want this message to be for the young children, the teens, and the young people. The Lord saved me 60 years ago. It's hard to imagine somebody could be go back that far, isn't it? But anyway, the Lord saved me 60 years ago when I was 12. And, you know, I went to a church where the gospel was really not preached. But we did learn some scripture. I memorized the Lord's Prayer. We were working on the Ten Commandments. And so, at 12 years old, I was at a crossroads. I was with young people and the neighbors and so on that were lost. But I knew that that wasn't going to satisfy. And so I heard a gospel message on a Sunday night in my room. And I asked the Lord to save me. And He did. I knew I was a sinner. I had the Ten Commandments. They told me I was a sinner. And so I just knelt and by faith trusted Christ. And Jesus said that's how we come to Christ as a little child. It's not how much theology I know. It's faith in Jesus Christ and what He did for me on the cross. That's how I trusted Christ. And so that was the beginning of my Christian life. And that was the greatest decision in my life by the grace of God. It wasn't me, but it was the grace of God. And so, I would, if you have your Bibles, turn to Proverbs chapter 24, verse 3. I'm not a carpenter. Brother Tom is very skilled, and he's very good at it. But Proverbs chapter 24 and verse 3, through wisdom is a house builded, and by understanding it is established. Now, Jesus said, the foolish man builds his house on the sand, the wise man builds his house on Christ. So when we are saved, we're trusting Christ as our rock and our salvation. But I want to talk to us after God saves us. The scripture says in Proverbs, it says to, through wisdom is a house builded. And we are building a house, young people. We are building a house. And by the way, I'm watching my wife back there, and she's taking notes. My wife and I have been taking notes for over 50 years. And we take Brother Mac's sermon last week, Brother Phillips the week before on loving one another and edifying and building one another up in the faith. He had something like 17 different points that I copied down. And what I'm saying is, we need don't make light of the preaching of God's Word. Don't say, well, it's just another message. No, you don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. You don't know where you're going to be after this. Take advantage of the opportunity. And to write these things down and avail yourselves of the good teaching of God's Word. And I'm going to say more about that in a few moments. But how important it is to take and to write down some very important points. And now, here he's saying, build a house. Build a house. Young people, we're building a house. All right, in Proverbs 14, verse 1. Anybody quote that? Every wise woman buildeth her house, but the foolish plucketh it down. Now, so God's talking in the book of Proverbs, and I hope, young people, you'll read the book of Proverbs. You can read it 12 times a year, just one chapter a day. There's 31 chapters. You can read it. This is a book God wrote for you to keep you from sin, as the Scripture says. And so how important this book is. I've read it many times, and I learn from it continually because the Holy Spirit's my teacher. You know, I don't have any new verses this morning to give you. There are 31,173 verses in the Bible. Go ahead and count them if you want to. But that's how many verses. I don't have any new scriptures to give. But I'm going to give you some of the same scriptures that the elders give as they preach. Because I don't have any new gospel to give. I just have the same old gospel, the same old book. But you know, when you build a house, you want a foundation that's level. I mean, you get it off a little bit, and that house is not going to come out right. I didn't bring a framing square. I brought a speed square because the framing squares are pretty good size. But the framing square is going to help you get those 2x4s and the rafters and so on square. And we need that. And so what I'm saying is when you build a house, you want to start out that foundation and begin to build it right. You want a good foundation. You want it level. You want it square and so on. You want good tools. Most of us can use a hammer, but there are other things that we need as well. And so these are just illustrations, but it helps us to think how we ought to build our house. And so I'm going to give you three main points this morning on the Word of God. And the first one is going to be the Word of God. And it's 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. 2 Timothy 2:15. Very important. A wonderful verse to memorize. My second point is to memorize the Word of God. Psalms 119 verse 11 says, Thy Word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against Thee. And oh my, Satan is out there. You think he's not out there? He's out there. He's out there to trip us up. He's out there to lie to us and deceive us and so on. He even went after our Lord Jesus Christ. And how did Jesus defend himself? But with the Word of God. And he quoted the Word of God. So, not only study, but memorize the Word of God. Then the next point is, we should meditate therein, day and night. Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. And he goes on to say, we'll be successful. I think we will. Maybe not in the eyes of the world will we be successful, but we will be successful. I heard we watched a little bit of the Super Bowl, and Manning was doing, he was having a terrible time, and the quarterback there, and the announcer said, well, you know, towards the end, he said, well, what's he going to do now? You know, he's failed. as a quarterback, just like life had ended, you know. And the poor fellow, what, you know, there wasn't anything left for him to do. He failed at, you know, his most important thing. In the Christian life, we don't have to be that way. We don't have to fail. We just have to persevere by faith in the Word of God. And so as we meditate and grow and so on, we're going to be successful as we follow the Lord. And we might make a mistake or two, but God's forgiving and loving and gracious, and He's got His angels out there and God's people. Another thing is method of study. I may have told some this, but my method of study as I go through the Old Testament, which is sometimes a little challenging, but I look for the gist of the book. What's the book saying overall, the theme? Then I look for the gems. I like the gems. I write them down. Sometimes we print them out, and I carry them with me. Sometimes I don't always have my Bible with me, but I reach in my pocket, and I get out some of those gems. And I sit there, and I meditate. Oh, I've memorized them before, but I read them again. Because the blessed Holy Spirit is my teacher, and He brings new thoughts to my heart and my mind. So I study for the gist, the gem, and then sometime I write it in a journal, just a notebook, but to record those things. And then I thought Brother Mack was going to preach my sermon this morning, but he was saying what a nice, you know, how important preaching is. It is very important. And I said something to somebody the other day. I said something about prayer meeting. They said, well, what's prayer meeting? This is a Christian, but at their church, I don't know if they have a prayer meeting, but I'm thankful we have a prayer meeting in our church, and I'm thankful for answered prayer. And but preaching is very important. As Hebrews 10:25 says, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is. It's important that we come together and fellowship with God's people, encourage one another, edify one another, build one another up in the faith, and through the fellowship here. Now, in 1 Corinthians 1:23, if you'd like to look there with me, 1 Corinthians 1:23. This whole chapter is talking about preaching and the foolishness of the world and the wisdom of God. But we preach Christ unto the Jews a stumbling block, unto the Greeks foolishness, but unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. You know why we're coming to the church to hear the preaching? So we can gain God's wisdom. We need God's wisdom. The world doesn't recognize this wisdom, but we need God's wisdom. How important it is. And then, after we are blessed with the Scripture and the teaching and the fellowship and the preaching, what are we going to do? Just sit back and keep it all in. Don't tell anybody. No, Jesus said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel, teach the gospel, sow the seed. That's what we're to do, sow the seed. And go ye therefore and teach all nations. Psalms 11:30. We usually know that part of that verse, the last part. He that winneth souls is wise. And that's a good part of it. But sometime we miss the first part of the scripture. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. Is a tree of life. When God saves us, then we become like a tree. And we're going about and we're dropping fruit from that tree to be a blessing. Now, Brother Mack and Brother Linda, they've been at this a long time. And they, almost weekly, just like they did this morning, what are they doing? They're telling us about somebody that's got a need, about this brother that lost his family, and so on. And so they're sharing. And they meet people. Sometime I've gotten mine to invite somebody over for lunch, and guess who already invited them? Brother Mac and Linda. So, you know, what I'm saying is they're always helping and edifying and building up the saints and so on. So they're dropping fruit throughout their life. Last Sunday, there was two young ladies sitting in front of my wife and I. And it was their grandchildren. They have a part in raising their grandchildren. What are they doing? They're dropping fruit. They're teaching them the way of Christ and how to walk and so on. That's fruit where we're at work. We drop fruit. We're light and so on. So that's a blessing. The other day, I guess it's been maybe 2 months ago now, I talked to a Latin man driving a truck, and I gave him a gospel track, and he said, oh, he said, you know, something worked in his life. He said, recently I've got a divorce. And he said, I got a divorce, and I was devastated. I've got 3 children. And he said he didn't know what he was going to do. You know, he could have went to drinking, and he could have went this way and so on. But he said, you know, and he lived in Irving. And he said, just a couple blocks down, he said, there's a little Baptist church. And he said, I went down there, and I got saved. And then he said, my children got saved. You know, he was so glad that I talked to him about the Lord. You see, sometimes it's not just sinners, but it's the saints. I want to, Spurgeon said here in his devotional, he said, to speak for God will be refreshing to ourselves. That's all. You get a blessing when you go out there and witness. And then he said, to speak for God will be refreshing to ourselves, cheering to the saints, useful to sinners, and honoring to the Savior. So we just keep on going, talking to people about the Lord. What a blessing. Well, first point was the Word of God. Second point is the will of God. The will of God. Proverbs 15:3, I was meditating on this verse. The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good. What is God concerned about? Is He concerned how much we've got in the bank? Is He concerned about our position, our degrees? No. He's concerned about our moral life, beholding the evil and the good. Proverbs 19, verse 22, a poor man is better than a liar. It says that also in verse 1. A poor man is better than a liar. Better that we're poor and tell the truth than lie a little bit on the job so we can have more money or better position and so on. God would rather have us to be poor. He'll take care of us. He said He would. Then we lie, and so on. God is concerned about His moral law that He laid down. And, you know, another thing I was meditating on this scripture, and be turning with me to Isaiah 11, verse 3. Sometimes the Holy Spirit He always does, helps you with understanding these scriptures. And I just kind of set me back. Here it is. And shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. What's he saying here? How does God judge? God doesn't judge by what somebody says. He doesn't judge by what they do. He judges, this next verse, but with righteousness shall he judge the poor. God looks on the heart. I know some people that sometimes they are so nice outwardly. And they do, and they appear to be so gracious and so whatever. But they can be filled with hatred and so on. But God looks on the heart. He's concerned. And I got a blessing as I meditated on that. And I'm going to do something here that it's a little dangerous. I want to talk about the Ten Commandments. And I'm glad Lainey brought that scripture. I'm glad they're learning the Ten Commandments, how important that is. But I'm going to go through the Ten Commandments. It's the reason I'm saying it's a little dangerous, because I realize it's long. But I'm just going to mention them. But you know, we live in a society and a culture and so on. They say, that was good enough for Moses, but we don't need that today. Take it out of the schools and so on. We don't need the Ten Commandments. Oh, yes, we do. James Gray, in his little commentary, writes this. We have now reached the most remarkable event in the history of Israel until this time, and one of the most remarkable in the history of the world. While it has primary reference to Israel, still it affects the whole race for time and eternity. Since the moral law is the expression of God's will, the reflection of His nature, and the immutable standard of right for His accountable creatures everywhere and always. God is still concerned about this, the moral law that He set down in stone, and He wants us to follow it, not for our salvation, but for our well-being. This first commandment, thou shalt have no other gods before me. I thought of this scripture where the young man came to Jesus and he said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? In Matthew chapter 19, verse 16 and on. And Jesus said, keep the commandments. That was unusual, wasn't it? We know we can't keep the commandments. But he said, keep the commandments. Oh, he said, I've kept these all the commandments. And I think outwardly, he probably did. And then, but Jesus has a way of putting his finger right on the need, doesn't he? He said, all right, if you have, he said, what I want you to do is I want you to give everything away. Give all your money away. Oh, he went away. The Bible says sorrowful. Why? Because Jesus knew that he was, his God was his money. And he couldn't give that God up. Well, that number two commandment, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. What was talked about this morning. We're not to make any graven image. Some denominations will make something out of Mary, a statue, etc., and so on. We're not to bow down to them. Only the Lord Jesus Christ are we to bow down to. Number three, thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Oh my, I worked with somebody a couple days ago, and they're professing Christian. I said professing, but they were using God's name irreverently. We should never use God's name unless we mean it in a reverent sense, fearing God and honoring His name. Number four, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Now you say, what's that got to do with us? That was Israel stuff. Well, we worship when? On the first day of the week that as Jesus was raised, the resurrection. God wants us to have a day set aside so we can worship the Lord, not work 7 days and forget God, but we worship God, spend time with our family, and so on. And also, I like this, in this chapter here, and by the way, the commandments that I'm referring to is in Exodus chapter 20, which was talked about this morning. This is verse 8. And he says, 6 days he made the world. 6 literal days. Not tens of thousands of years and so on. God took 6 days. And then he said, labor and work. Don't be afraid of that word. Work. It's good. You read Proverbs. He encourages you to labor and to work. How important that is. Get out and do some physical work. You say, what's that? Paul said, working with your hands. It's good. It's beneficial. It's relaxing. Tim and I like to get out and we cut wood and so on. And it's a blessing. I like to be outside. So then he says, honor thy father and thy mother. Wow. You see, that's old stuff. Oh, God's, this book is still what God wants us to do. Honor thy father and thy mother. How important that is. I read a story about a seamster. His wife had died, and his health was not good, and pretty soon he couldn't. His vision was blurred, and he had misfortunes. He was out of money and hardships and penniless, and his hands trembled, and he couldn't do the sewing any longer, and he couldn't see very good, and so he was, you know, he couldn't work and so on. He had 3 sons, and for a while they came by to see him, but after a while it was less and less that they came by. And he was beginning to feel bad that his children weren't coming to see him. And he stayed awake all night. He said, what can I do to bring my sons in to see me? And so he visited some of his friends. His one friend was a carpenter, and he had him build him a chest. Another friend was a locksmith. And he got an old lock from a locksmith. And another one was blowing glass and so on, and he got some broken glass from him. And he put it all in this chest. And put the broken glass in there, locked it up, put it underneath his table. And when his sons came by and so on, and they kicked that box under there. Man, that was heavy. And what was that? What's in there, Dad? Oh, nothing of really any account. My, the sons got together and they said, wow, you know, we've got to take care of Dad. All this time, he's been laying up this treasure. And we don't want anything to happen to that treasure. So we better, you know, we'll take turns. So one son would stay with them 1 week, and another son would come along, and he'd stay another week, and so on. And they're going to take care of Dad. And so along it went, and finally the old gentleman passed away. Well, the sons got together, and they said, man, we... You know, all that he's done here and everything, we've got to take care of him. We need a good funeral. So they spent money on the funeral and so on, and had a very nice funeral. At the end of the funeral, came down and they said, we've got to look in the box. So they looked around the house and they found a key, padlock key. And they opened that chest up, and here was broken glass in there. The oldest son, he said, oh, he said, our dad could deceive us like this and just put broken glass in there. The younger son, he was ashamed. He said, you know, here Dad had, we didn't pay attention to him until we thought we had a treasure here. And he had to deceive us to get us to come to the house, to his house, and for us, for him to see us, and so on. And so they were convicted. So the oldest son, he said, well, we might as well just empty the contents. And so they emptied the contents of the chest. Sure enough, wasn't anything in there. But they all were staring down at the bottom of the chest. And it said, honor thy father and thy mother. My, that brought conviction. And you know, it ought to bring conviction to us. Sometimes, I know I didn't honor my mother always. My father died when I was just a babe. But, you know, that God still says it's very important to honor thy father and thy mother, their wishes, their thoughts, and so on. How important that is. Scripture says, verse 13, Exodus, thou shalt not kill, means thou shalt not do murder. When I was there with Brother Nick had to do something and he passed his sign down. The one sign that he had was holding is, babies are murdered here. Babies are murdered here at the abortion clinic. And that was a good sign because, you know, it was a little deceitful. It kind of made it sound like the sign out there in the abortion clinic made it sound like they were out to help you with your health and so on. But they were deceitful. And here, this was telling the truth. Babies are murdered here. So just remember that, young people. When they go down for an abortion, don't let them tell you it's just a little bit of tissue or something. Babies are murdered there. The other one, thou shalt not commit adultery. You say, well, Jesus and God were concerned about marriage. Concerned about marriage. You go to Matthew 19 and the Pharisees came to Jesus. 19 and verse 3 through 6. They came to Jesus and they asked him about divorce and so on. He said, well, from the beginning, back in Adam and Eve time, he said that God didn't mean for them to divorce. He wants them to be together. And I'm not being critical of any situation here. I'm just saying what God said. We don't want to, we want to honor marriage. What did Jesus do? The first miracle he honored with the first miracle at the marriage. And very important to our Lord Jesus. I think of John chapter 4 and Jesus talking to the woman at the well. And he said, go call thy husband. And she said, well, I don't have a husband. He said, yeah, you've had five husbands and the one you're living with right now is not your husband. You know, a lot of people say, well, you know, we feel married and we act married and so on. You need to be committed. Young man I was working with, a truck driver, and he was all distraught and so on. I had witnessed to him a number of times and so on, and he wants to follow the Lord, but he lacks commitment. He's got a girlfriend. 17 years he had a girlfriend. And he was distraught because she wasn't faithful to him. Where did he make his mistake? 17 years ago he didn't get married. She wasn't committed to him and he wasn't committed to her. Marriage is no accident. I mean, it's a commitment for life. And he didn't bother with that. You just think you can go down here and get a girlfriend here and a girlfriend. That's not God's intention. And God doesn't bless it. Don't say, well, Lord, now bless me. Give me another girlfriend. No. You get back over there where you belong and get under God's book and listen to what God's plan is, which is marriage. How important that is. Well, thou shalt not steal. We've had more theft, what, 100 million in Target and so on. We need the Ten Commandments, folks. God didn't intend for His moral law just to slip aside. Thou shalt not steal, all right, and thou shalt not bear false witness or lie. Now, what do we mean? Just because you told one lie, you mean you're going to go to hell? Well, if you're saved, God's going to forgive you. But if you habitually lie, you habitually murder, you habitually commit adultery, that's evidence that you do not know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And the Bible says you'll not enter the kingdom of God. Here it says in the 10th commandment, thou shalt not covet. Thou shalt not covet. 1 Corinthians 6:10, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. I'll tell you that the law will speak to us, God's moral law. And so, my last point here is the way of God. We've talked about the Word of God, the will of God. Now I want to talk to you about the way of God. God's chief attribute is holiness. And we read in Isaiah 6:3, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. My, I like to read about the holiness of God. I think it's tremendous. Our church is studying the holiness of God. I mean, what a tremendous thing. I mean, to study God's chief attribute. Turn in your Bibles with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 3. I'm going to read this from the English Standard Version. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 3. For this is the will of God, your sanctification. You say, boy, I've been praying about what God's will is. I don't know where to go with this girl. I don't know what to do about this. And so, your sanctification, the will of God is your sanctification, your separation against sin and against the world. John says, love not the world. Don't get involved with the world. That you abstain from sexual immorality, that each one of you know how to control his own body in holiness and honor, not in the passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God, that no one transgress and wrong his brother in this matter, because the Lord is the avenger in all these things. As we told you beforehand, and solemnly warned you, for God has not called us for impurity, but in holiness. God wants us to be holy, young people. How important that is. I'll tell you, that's the will of God, is holiness. Very, very important. I talked to a young lady 3 days ago. Seems like the Lord has a mission field every time I go to the doctor. So it cost me a lot of money to witness, but I get a blessing. And I had shared spiritual things with her and talked to her, and I asked her about her husband, and she said, well, he's not a believer. And she was a believer. She'd been married, has a 10-year-old son and so on, and she said, you know, she just said it kind of quickly and so on. But she said, I was rebellious when I was a teenager. And she knew that she should not be unequally yoked together. But she went ahead and married this young man. And now she's got to live in this situation with her husband, not knowing the Lord. And how important that is. You don't let Satan come in Or don't let the flesh come in, young people, when you're young. Now's the time to make the right decisions for Christ. What was our text? Was Proverbs 24 and verse 4, through wisdom is a house built. Wisdom is when you come to the preaching. Wisdom is when you study the Word of God. Wisdom is when you follow God's moral law. And you're encouraged through the preaching of God's Word. Now here's the blessing. You haven't probably read this part, but verse 4. Proverbs 24, verse 4. And by knowledge shall the chambers be filled with all precious and pleasant riches. Build your house. Build it with holiness. The fruits of the Spirit. The Scriptures, memorize them. I'll tell you, this is of God. You put the whole armor of God on. And just saturate yourself with God's Word. Listen to preaching. The other day I was in a vehicle and I couldn't do other things. I listened to 6 different preachers. What a blessing. I mean, they were godly men that believed in the sovereignty of God. And so I got a blessing. I mean, as you're traveling about in your job, find the right godly preachers and listen to them. And what a blessing. And then Hebrews 12:15, follow peace with all men and holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. We're called saints. Paul calls us saints. We don't have to wait 2,300 million years before we become a saint. We're saints when God saves us, so we get the Holy Spirit at that time. And one author said, he said, don't let your youth be a blunder. Don't let your youth be a blunder. In other words, you look back 20 years and you look and say, my youth was a blunder. I blew it. I could have lived for God. I could have went to God's house. I could have went with the right person. I didn't do it. It was a blunder. I ignored my parents' advice. I ignored the preacher's advice. So, don't let your life, young person, be a blunder. Be a blunder. Well, I hope, you know, my wife and I, we've been married a little over 50 years, and we look back, and you know, the church is where we attended. Prayer meeting is where we attended. We went to we were faithful throughout the years to avail ourselves. Now you've got the couple of a Bible conference coming up. Avail yourselves of good preaching. Brother Mac talks about good books. I listen. He's got 50 people you should know? I'm reading it. I listen about good books. I like good books. They edify and they build us up in the faith. So, let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for young people in our church. Thank you for the children. I pray that, Father, you would save their souls, those that are lost. And, Father, edify and build up those that are saved. And we'll give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen.